quicker so it's sound better. All right. I understand from Joseph you guys are going through Jesus' I am statements in the book of John. Today we're in chapter 15. We're going to go through verses 1 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 11. You can follow along as I read, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray real quick before we jump into the message. God, we just lift up this time to you. I pray that your Spirit would be speaking to us the words of conviction and encouragement that you would need us to hear this morning. Help us to examine our lives and see the things that you would have us change and the things that you would have us to continue doing. We pray that the words that come out this morning would be from your Holy Spirit. If I say things that are of contrary, then I just ask that you would help us forget those. And I just ask that you would be speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the title of today's message is From the Source. There's a lot of talk in this passage about branches and vines. And the theme that is going through here is that being connected, right? Now, some of you like to play computer games, and you need a computer. Let's say you put together the best computer, you have unlimited budget, and you can put together the best computer out there. You buy your best motherboard, you buy the latest GPU. I hear the one that's been released recently is the NVIDIA 50 series. You have the best CPU and cooling. It's got all these nice colorful lights on it. It's the most powerful machine that you can build. You plug it in, and then you play. You can play your games. Maybe it'll make you that much better in terms of response time. So I have a computer at home. I also like playing video games. And I was playing one time. It was in the middle of a thunderstorm. But I was playing one time, and I was doing my thing. And then all of a sudden, lights start flickering. And then, blackout. Everything shut down. My computer included. So I was there in the middle of the game, and then boom, everything goes black. The house is now dark. At that moment, no matter how powerful my computer is, no matter how much money I've sunk into it, no matter how much skill I have, that computer is useless. Because despite whatever pro equipment you have, whatever kind of investment you have put into a powerful computer, if that computer is not connected to a power source, it is useless. You might as well not have a computer. And so here Jesus is telling us that in a similar way, if we are not connected to the right source, whatever you do in life, all your activities, everything that you strive for, it might as well be useless if you are not connected to the source. Our Christian living, is one that we have to live in dependence. Many of us will go about life trying to do our best to be a good person, right? Many of us, after we've decided to follow Jesus, we realize that, oh, God wants us to live in a certain way. He desires for our hearts to be transformed. But then oftentimes we go about these things in a way that we completely miss the point that when God saves us, we think, all right, God has now saved me, and I must now fix myself. I must now do my best and work my way to change myself for the better. And we fail to realize that the power to change is not from us ourselves, but that we have to depend upon God. If we are not dependent upon God, then there's no way that we can accomplish things for God or even in any sort of change for ourselves. And so the main point of today's passage, as we look through verses 1 through 11, the main point is simple. Stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. I use this very specific phrase because I think it is the best way to convey what Jesus is trying to say in this passage. Here Jesus, in chapter 15, is talking to his disciples. He is talking to them in a context where, after he talks to them in this passage, he goes to Gethsemane, and then he gets arrested, taken away, and crucified. So this is the last little bit of time he has with his disciples to tell them everything that's important. And so one of the things that is important he decides to tell them here is that he, Jesus, is the vine and they are branches and they have to stick with him. I use the word stick with as a way to translate the word abide. If you look at the passage, verses 1 through 11, the word abide comes up a lot. Now, I'm guessing in your day-to-day activities, you don't use the word abide. You probably don't even hear it very often. And so we hear the word abide with me. Like, well, okay, what does that mean, practically speaking? Well, what we can do is look at other places where that word shows up in the book of John, and then we'll get an idea of what does John mean when he says abide. Because if we hear him say, abide in me, and we have no idea what that means, we don't really know how to live that out, right? So in order to practically apply that, we need to know what they mean. And so if you look at, you don't have to turn there, John chapter 8, where one place where the word comes up is John chapter 8, 35. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. That word remain there is the same word that is used here as abide. It's just translated differently. It comes out as remain. And so in this sense, we get in that passage, that word is getting used as staying in a place, staying in the house, living there. A second place Jesus used in John 1:38. Now Jesus turned around and saw the crowd that's following him, and he said, what do you want? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Meaning, where are you going to rest, and where is your home base where you live? And so that, in a sense, is the word staying is another word that was translated as staying, but the original work is the same word as the one abide in Greek. And so abide has the idea of a place of rest, a place where you go after all the busy day's work, where you go and sit down and take some rest. Another place it shows up is in John 14, so the chapter right before this one, John 14, verses 17. Jesus is saying, even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. Dwells with you, that is the same word here that is used for abide. And so it is the idea that you are together in unity. So all these ideas that come together to form, to tell us what it means when John says abide. Abide has the idea of being together. Abide has the idea of a place of rest, a place of comfort, a place of security. Abide means that you are together in unity. It is not a place where you go to get together with people that you don't agree with, but there's agreement there. It is a place where you can call home. And so I think all of that is best summarized by the phrase, stick with. Now, some of you have pets at home, and specifically pet dogs. Now, this pet dog lives with you. This pet dog depends upon you for nutrients. They like to play with you. They receive relationship with you and hopefully back rubs and tummy rubs from you. The dog really depends on you for their life. If the dog were to be left outside, we don't know what kind of future the dog would have. But your dog abides with you because your dog depends on you for its sustenance, for life, for relationship. Your dog abides with you because the dog finds security and a sense of comfort and home with you. Your dog abides with you. Your dog sticks with you. And that's what I think the idea of the word abide is really trying to bring out when John uses it. And so that is why we're saying when we look through this passage, John is saying, stick with Jesus just like your puppy sticks with you. Stick with Jesus. Now, the question could come up, why should I stick with Jesus, right? Jesus is saying, abide in me. Well, what's the reason? Does Jesus give us any good reasons to abide with him? And I think there are some good reasons here. If you look at verses 4 and 6, Jesus is saying that the branches, that's us, must stick with the vine in order to gain nutrients. If you've ever had plants at home, you'll know that if you don't feed the plants, like you don't water them, you don't give them vitamins, they're actually going to slowly wither over time. You get flowers for different occasions, sometimes for graduation, sometimes for birthdays, sometimes for Valentine's Day. A lot of us will stick the flowers into a flower pot. However, how you get the flower is that someone grew it out of a flower plant, a bush, and they snipped it off, and then they sell it to you, right? No matter how hard you work, you cannot keep that flower alive forever because it has been cut off from the bush. And so it'll wither over time because the nutrients that it's getting from that original bush are no longer there. And so when the flower is first attached to the bush, it'll stay there, it'll grow, it'll continue to stay healthy. But as soon as you remove it off, it's not going to get those nutrients from the bush anymore. A lot of times we think of our growth as Christians, the process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. We think of that as something that we have to do on our own. But what Jesus is saying here, it's not something you can do on your own, nor is it something that he intended for us to do on our own. We must be attached, sticking with Jesus, in order for that growth to happen. So in order for us to continue to grow as followers of Jesus, we have to stick with Jesus. The second reason I think we should stick with Jesus is the fruit. Now, Jesus talks about in this passage, abide in me. If you're apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. You can do nothing. What is this fruit that he's talking about? Are you really going to bud off a grape from your left arm? Or are we going to be seeing apples kind of sprout from our hair? Like, no, okay, Jesus is not talking about literal fruit, right? Okay, so what kind of fruit is he talking about? Well, I think one way we can see it is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that he's talking about is results from abiding in him, and the results is the fruit of the Spirit is an easy way to go. You guys maybe have memorized this in the past. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? So these are the fruit that he's talking about. As a believer and a follower of Jesus abides with Jesus, these things will show up in their life in increasing quantities. Part of bearing fruit, however, is the process of pruning. Now, pruning, some of you are not into gardening, but pruning is to cut and to remove things off of a plant. I had to look it up because I am not a gardener either. In fact, my family has a history of killing plants. Whenever we plant something, it will inevitably die. And so we've even killed cactuses. A cactus does not need that much water. We drowned it. So, because we're not good with plants. However, if you want a plant to bear fruit, if you're doing any sort of fruit-bearing plant, there is a method to actually taking care of the plant. You can't just feed it a ton of water and nutrients and expect it to produce fruit. You actually have to chop off branches, and you have to chop them off pretty aggressively. So I actually had to look up this week, how do you prune a fruit tree? And so the fruit tree here that they're pruning, you're taking a tree that it's healthy. This is a perfectly healthy tree. But even with a healthy tree, you have to chop off parts of the branches. So everything that's labeled here, branches that grow inward, branches that grow downward, branches that are too high. Everything has to get chopped off, even though those are perfectly healthy branches. Because if you don't chop off those trees, what happens is that the nutrients that go to those branches end up getting wasted on growing branches and splitting up, rather than getting funneled into the fruit to give you a sweet apple or a sweet orange. And because of that, the gardener who knows that he has a good tree is going to start taking away some things that grow off the main branches. Sometimes in our lives, God will need to do some pruning. As followers of Jesus, God doesn't just let us freestyle grow. He wants a direction. He wants us to bear fruit. In order to bear fruit, sometimes things have to get removed. In order to promote proper growth as someone to grow into the image of Christ, sometimes you have to give up things. God will either ask you to remove things in your life or sometimes forcefully remove things in your life in order that you can grow. Sometimes those things will be distractions, things that might be okay to have, branches are okay to have, but then because it's taking away attention, it's taking away energy from developing as a follower of Jesus, God will say, no, that's not the time for that. We have to take that out of your life now. Sometimes it'll be things that maybe are sinful. Dead branches or branches that are sucking the life out of you and maybe like they're parasites. And so you have to remove those parasitic branches. Sometimes it'll be things that that you really value. It has grown with you for a long time, but at this time, it has taken too much energy away from your relationship with God, and that needs to be taken away as well. And so a good gardener will prune and cut away things in their fruit tree. And sometimes God is asking us to cut away or take away things in our lives that are drawing our attention away from Him, that are not good for our relationship with Him, and maybe distracting from what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And the last thing that related to bearing fruit is that sometimes God needs to the third point for sticking with Jesus is dangers of dying or dead things. And so if there are things in your life that are causing you to die, causing you to wither away, God is going to remove those things. If we are not careful, we ourselves might, as a whole person, start withering away. And the danger is, if you are not sticking with Jesus, you will inevitably wither away. And those things are, in this parable, discarded. And so I'm not saying that God will discard us, but He's warning against, this is what's going to happen. You will dry up and shrivel up if you are not sticking with the vine. All right, so those are all good reasons why we should stick with Jesus. How do we do that, practically speaking, right? We can't find Jesus physically in the world nowadays and then like glue ourselves to Him. So what does it look like when I say we stick with Jesus? Well, in verse 9 and 10, if you look with me, Jesus says that, as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And so the two components of sticking with Jesus is accept the love of Jesus, abide there, stay there. And the second thing is to love just like you have been loved. I think to accept the love of God is something that we toss around a lot. God loves you very much. But sometimes it's very hard for us to internalize it. What does that mean that God loves me? Have I accepted that love? Have I really internalized that love? Because oftentimes, I think for us, we feel like we have to earn God's love. But that's not the case here. Jesus is just saying, God has given you this love. Now you just need to accept it and live in it. Live as if you are loved by God. Not live as if you need to earn the love of God, but live as if you are loved by God, because that is where you are. And as you have received the love of God, a sure sign of that is that you are no longer anxious about other people's perspectives of you. You are no longer anxious about if other people are giving you love. Because whether or not other people are loving on you, giving you attention, giving you approval, God's love is something that is already there. If you are filled with the love of God, you'll realize more and more that the love of other people, the love of adoration from people around you, affirmation from the crowds, that matters a lot less because you have what is important. The important thing is that God loves you first and foremost. We have accepted the love of God when we realize that. Now, out of that love, what happens is that we keep God's commands. Because we recognize that God loves us so much, we decide, God loves me, and I want to do what pleases him, and I want to keep his commandments. Well, what is his commandments? If you look down to the next verse in verse 12, it says, very straightforward, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so as you experience the love of Jesus, the commandment now is love one another just like the way that Jesus has loved you. We must love one another. Sometimes it's going to be kind of hard. Sometimes the person that Jesus is commanding you to love is someone that is easy to love. Someone that may be the same grade as you, has the same interests, enjoys listening to the same songs as you. That's an easy person to love. Sometimes the person God has called you to love is someone who is not in maybe your same age. Maybe they are a sibling. Maybe they are the annoying person in class. Maybe they are someone who you don't like hanging out with. But God still calls us to love one another just like Jesus loved you. The way Jesus loved us is not a conditional love. Jesus didn't say, you're good looking, I decide to love you. You're acting really nice today. I'll decide to love you. You have a lot of talents and you seem smart. I'm going to love you. You share my interests and therefore I will love you. No, Jesus loved us while we were still sinners, while we were messed up persons. Even the people who were crucifying Jesus to the cross, Jesus loved them and died for their sins. And so that kind of love is the kind of love that Jesus calls us to. It is not a kind of love that is conditional. Now, that's a really big ask. So that is why we jump back to why do we need to stick with Jesus, is because in order to act out that kind of love, in order to keep God's commandments, we need to be first connected with the vine. Now, how do I know if I am not sticking with Jesus? Because the commandment is, okay, abide in him, abide in God's love, right? Well, are there any signs and the things that we can ask ourselves to say, how do I know if I am sticking with Jesus? And the question I think we can ask is, well, is there any fruit coming out in my life? If I observe my life and look at my life, do I find any love? Do I find any joy? Do I find any patience, kindness, goodness, those fruits, the fruit of the Spirit? Is that showing up in my life? Maybe not to the extent that you would say, I am perfect in these, but am I a more patient person this week, this month, than I was last week, last month? Is God developing those fruit in my life, or is it completely absent? If there is no joy, if there is no love in our lives, then perhaps we are not in a place that is receiving from the vine anymore. Because I am convinced that as a follower of Jesus, any one of us who spends time with Jesus, truly dwelling with him, sticking with him, abiding in him, you will see a life change. There's an example that I like to use about the impact of Jesus on a life. Imagine in the morning you go off to school in the morning, right? So imagine somebody, I don't know who, why, but they would, as soon as you leave for school, you're out of the house, a project takes place where they decide to move an elephant into your room. maybe it's a baby elephant. Some of your rooms won't fit a full-size elephant, right? So they will try to get it through the doorway. Maybe they have to remove part of the door hinge or the door frame to get it in. Maybe if the door can't fit them and they can't walk through the front door, they'll maybe carve a large opening next to your window to get the elephant through. The elephant has to crawl through, squeeze through, and they'll leave it there. They'll leave it there until right before you get back home from school. Right before you get back home from school, they will escort the elephant out. They'll take the elephant out, and the elephant will leave, and then they'll try to close your room back up so that when you walk back in, it'll be the way you left it, sort of, right? If that project were to happen and you walk into your room, you would know, even though you didn't know at school, you immediately walking into your room, you will know that something big was there. There might be furniture that got knocked over. You might smell something. There might be marks on the wall or marks on the door of something very large getting into your room. There might be things on the ceiling because something very large was in that room. Without even knowing that someone put an elephant in your room while you're gone, you will know that something large was there and left a mark. Something very big was there and left a mark. If we invite Jesus into our lives, that is a very big change. And something that big in our lives will definitely leave a mark, no matter how careful we are. And especially if we have invited him, Jesus, into our lives, Jesus is going to leave a mark on our lives. And it's inevitable, no matter how hard you try, that a change will happen in your life. And so I think it's very similar that as you stick with Jesus, as you live with Jesus, if you have invited him into your life, into your heart, there is going to be change that happens. There's going to be traces and evidence in your life that Jesus is there and at work. Now, what if we examine our lives and we realize, okay, I've looked at my life, I don't find the fruit. I don't find any love or joy. I don't think I am abiding with Christ right now, but I want to. What if I'm in a place where maybe I just don't really, I know I should be abiding with Jesus, I should be sticking with Jesus, but things are so distracting right now, things are so hard right now, I just don't have the heart or the time or the effort. Mentally I know it, but in my heart is not really there right now. What do I do? If you're in this place where you realize after examining your heart, maybe I'm not sticking with Jesus, but I know I want to, what do I do? I think we go back up to what does it look like? The first step is accepting God's love. What does it mean to be loved by God? Realize that, remind yourself of that. Speak those promises to yourself. Accept the love of God. And the second thing is, like I said earlier, keep his commands. Love one another. As the love of God pours into you, you have to pour out into other people and depend upon God's strength, God's nutrients, God's love pouring into you to pour through you out to other people. Depend upon God for his love and love other people in the process as well. And all through that process, be praying and asking God to show you how to abide in his love. Show you the love that he has for you. Because I'm sure and I believe that God will answer those prayers. The prayers as we cry out to him, God, I want more of you. I don't have it in my heart to really be passionate about it or to really care about it right now, but mentally I know I need more of you. So I pray however it sounds right now coming out of my mouth, it is a prayer that is just written down and my heart is not in it, but I know mentally I have to pray to you. And so I'll pray it to you, God. Spark a joy in my life. Give me love in my life so that I can pour out to other people. And God will answer those prayers. I've been in those situations before where I am not into it. I am dreading going up and talking to this person because I don't feel the love of God in my life and I don't feel like I really need to love on them. But in those moments, asking God, like, okay, I'm depending on you, God, to love this person because honestly, right now, I do not love this person. So please, work in my heart to move me to love this person just as you have commanded me to do. God honors those prayers, And as we pray to him, as we spend time thinking about his love, dwelling, abiding in his love, he will change our hearts, and he will bring us to that place where we are once again abiding with Jesus, sticking with Jesus. And so as we're wrapping up the message, as we're wrapping up this journey in, what does it mean to be the branches connected to the vine? I'm hoping that as we're examining our lives to see whether we're sticking with Jesus, that we'll try to ask ourselves those honest questions, give ourselves those honest answers, and really try to walk with Jesus, stick with Jesus, because without Jesus in our lives, without that power source, we're not able to do this alone. And in fact, it'll be very easy to burn out. It'll be very easy to become legalistic. Christianity will become a list of rules. Following Jesus becomes something that you have to do, but not something that you get to do. Stick with Jesus. And in doing so, he will pour into you the grace and the love and the peace that you need to continue walking with him. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are the source of our joy, the source of our love, and the source of our hope. Just pray that you would be pouring into us, you would be drawing us close to you as we seek to remain in you, as we seek to live out the Christian life. I just ask that you would show us what that means. Help us to not be dependent upon ourselves, but that we should depend upon you for the sustenance and the encouragement that we need each and every day. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Do you want to stop the recording?